This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. Woodley Nye from Hitbox. Hope I got that right.
Yep.
Yeah, good. It's great to have you on tonight's show for a chat about your video game. And you're basically part, one of the people involved. You've got your game at Best of the Independent Games Festival 2012, which is at the ACMI or ACME, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. And that started Tuesday the 27th of March, but it runs right through to July of this year. So that's pretty awesome. And yeah. Welcome to the show.
Cheers. It's good to be on here.
Yeah, good. You're calling from Brisbane. We're talking to you from Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the game is a Dust Force. All right.
Right, yeah.
Yep. Can you describe the game Dust Force to our listeners?
I certainly can. It's so it's a side-scroller like Mario or something like that. But yep. You play as a janitor, like an acrobatic sort of ninja janitor.
Okay,
and,
cool.
So your goal is to sort of sweep up all of the dust or debris in the level as stylishly and acrobatically as possible. And so you're sort of cleaning off, you know, dusty books and things like that and just running up the walls and on the roof and just sort of being really acrobatic with your broom and, yeah, trying to do things as stylishly as you can.
Mm, cool. Look, it's very interesting. I actually had a look at it online and love it. I love the imagery and just the way you made it look. That's good. Now, the musical score to the game is also pretty amazing. Can you tell us about who composed that? Did you do any of that?
Yeah, it wasn't me. It's a guy called Terrence Lee, who's by the name Lifeformed
okay.
on his SoundCloud and such. And yeah, he just kind of has been wanting to get into game music, and he's done a little bit of stuff in the past as well. But Dust Force was a good opportunity for him to sort of test his style in the context of a proper game score. And yeah, we are all really extraordinarily happy with how the soundtrack turned out. We feel like it's a large part of the impact of the game.
Yeah,
it comes from those songs because he just did a fantastic job on those.
Yeah, it certainly adds to it for sure. Gives it a whole, you just want to keep playing it or looking at it. I mean, I couldn't play it, but I just kept wanting more and more because of that.
Yeah, we feel like it does a lot to sort of alleviate the frustration of the game because the game is really quite difficult.
Yeah.
But there's this sort of soothing soundtrack that kind of, from comments that we've read, it seems like that keeps a lot of people playing.
Right.
So it forces them, or not forces them, but kind of helps them get through a lot of the difficulty. Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, keeps them on track then. Now, Woodley, what is your involvement in the game?
I did all of the visuals for the game. Mm-hmm. So I did all the animation and character design and all of that sort of stuff. I also designed a large portion of the levels.
Mm-hmm.
It was the levels were me, Matt, who's one of the programmers, did a lot as well, and Terrence, and just some other people, like Franzoir, designed a couple levels. And I also had the original sort of idea for the game
mm-hmm.
and did a lot of the, like, worked closely with our other programmer, Lexi, to design a lot of the actual mechanics of the game, so how things operate. So I didn't do any code, but I sort of was able to describe how I wanted things to play, and Lexi would kind of work with that and try and implement that. So I was sort of a game design and art on the game.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, I guess one of the questions is, too, how long has it taken for you to, you know, starting from scratch, when you first had the, germ of the idea of Dust Force to where it is today?
We worked on the game for approximately 2 years.
Wow.
So we actually have built sort of two separate versions of the game in that time. Originally, we were just developing sort of a prototype, sort of a proof of concept type thing to see if the mechanic idea worked. And, so we developed that over about 4 months, and we entered a competition, an indie game competition, and we won that, and that gave us the funding to create the full version of the game, which then took us, you know, all the way up to about 2 years of development.
So
time.
Two full-on years.
Yeah, we were working almost exclusively on that. We were pretty fortunate to win that competition, I think, because that gave us the financial means to just sort of be independently working on a game, which was really great. So we did that for, and we were all sort of spread out across the globe as well. One programmer was in Tokyo for a while.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we developed some in like New York and Cincinnati and stuff. So,
Wow. I guess that's the beauty of it. You can take this work with you anywhere you go.
Yeah, that's right.
And meet people and collaborate with people anywhere in the world, which is brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good. Mm. We made heavy use of the program Dropbox, which we developed the game almost exclusively through Dropbox, which is sort of a communal folder system. So we were all editing the same copy of the game that was actually stored kind of on the internet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Who would want a job like this? You've got a great job, that's all I can say. It makes me jealous.
It has its tough times as well. All of us in Hitbox, it's our passion is video games, so we wouldn't rather be doing anything else.
Fair enough. I have heard that's what is the impetus. If you're playing the games, you go, when you get a bit older, now I want to make my own version. And is that how you came across some of the other developers? There's how many of you in Hitbox?
There's four of us. So four? Me, mm-hmm. myself, Lexi Dostal, who's the sort of gameplay programmer. Matt Bush is our engine programmer. And then Terrence Lee, makes the music and sound.
You mentioned him. Yeah, cool. All right. And so how long has it been since Hitbox first opened its doors or you first started making games?
Yeah, well, we pretty much started with Dust Force and we were working on it for a long time without a studio name or anything. It was just me and Lexi at first. We didn't have Matt or Terrence on board when we were developing the first prototype version. So, around 2 years, pretty much the same length as Dust Force, about 2 years.
Okay. Cool. Now, you talked about some competitions that you did really well in competition with Dust Force. What other recognition has it received? I mean, do you go to many conventions or expos for this game, this platform game?
Not really. We went to GDC in Austin when we won the first the competition that we entered with the prototype of the game. The prize was given out at GDC, so we went to Texas for that. Besides that, we haven't really done that much in person. I know there's been some. There was something at I'm blanking on the name. The NYU Game Center in New York.
Okay.
They showed Dust Force at something they had, but most of the time we've been sort of too busy tweaking the game and just keeping it working and fixing a bunch of the glitches and things like that. We haven't really had that much time to go out promoting.
Really?
Besides that, I mean, we got an honorable mention at the IGF for art, visual art, and I don't know. Besides that, just the love of our fans.
So it's all about the tweaking. Like I've heard this before. I've spoken to some game developers, and it's like you can't keep your hands off it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is it because you're perfectionists? You keep thinking, no, we've got to push it further. We've got to add this and add this. Is there ever a complete version, finished version?
Yeah, well, it's hopefully there is. Mm. We're working on a big update right now that's going to be out in May. And we hope that's sort of the definitive version of the game, which will let people use the level editor and share levels and stuff like
cool.
that.
Yeah.
In terms of like the tweaking things like the character movement, something like that, it's sort of up to the discretion of the designer and programmer and such to decide when it's done. So it's never really as good as it can possibly be. Is you just kind of have to decide at a point that you're happy with its current
and settle
state.
For it.
so a lot of the tweaking and polish is just those little subtleties in the movement and just things that people might not necessarily even notice when they play the game, but sort of contribute to the overall feel of the game in sort of more subtle ways. A lot of the tweaking is that kind of stuff. And then unlike Matt's, on the programming side of things, there's a lot of bug fixing and just things that we didn't anticipate and things like that. So
interesting. Good one. Now, with the definitive version when it's out in May, is that going to be available as an app? Are you guys moving into that area, or...?
No, well, we don't really have any plans right now to make phone versions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility in the future, but we're not yeah, we're not really committing to anything like that. Basically, the game uses quite high resolution sprites and such, which might be kind of tricky to fit on the phone.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah, it's like I said, it's always a possibility. But yeah, no, we have no plans for that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what happens after, say, May? Are you guys developing something next? Or is there going to be another game that's like Dust Force, something completely different?
We definitely want to make something completely different. Well, not completely different, because we'll have learned a lot from Dust Force, and it'll, of course, have some of those characteristics. But, yeah, we want to make something in 3D. We're all kind of a little bit sick of 2D after working on it for so long.
Yeah,
but, yeah, we have a couple of ideas, and we're probably going to, after our final Dust Force update, we're probably going to spend a lot of time prototyping a bunch of different ideas, just in sort of short form versions, and then seeing what we find enjoyable or fun or you know, enticing, and then deciding on another project, and then delving like deep into that. So yeah, we have a bunch of ideas.
Now, with video games, you yourself personally, what would be a game that was a game that you played, obviously, when you were younger, that you said, look, this is why I want to be a programmer, you know, developer?
For me, it's definitely Smash Bros. Melee on GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Super Smash Bros. Melee. I think that game is, like, just absurdly brilliant in terms of the mechanics, and it's just unbelievable how much depth there is to that game. There's so many little subtleties to the movement and the just the mechanics of the game. There's so many subtleties that allow for a new player to pick it up, and they don't quite understand why it's so fun, but it is really fun for new players. And then the more you play it and the more you sort of delve into it, you start to realize that there's just this just unbelievable amount of depth, and that's definitely the most inspiring thing mechanically for me. So not in terms of story or anything, but just the game mechanics, I think, in that are my biggest inspiration. I still play that a lot as well.
So it never alters for you? You never get bored of that game for you because it's got those depths and layers to it?
Yeah.
Is that what you look for?
Deep enough that you could keep playing it forever and you'd never get as good as you can get at the game. You can always just keep improving.
Oh, that's cool. Now, if you had a choice, what would be the game that you would be, I don't know, a game that would, for you, be the ultimate game? If you could create it with your team, because I guess with a group of people, you're always going to discuss and come to a democratic sort of agreement, I guess, in the end, of what a game's going to look like, sound like, how you go.
That's really hard. I couldn't really say I have a ultimate dream game sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really interested in competitive games, like StarCraft, which is played for, you know, large sums of money and extremely competitive in South Korea and stuff like that. I'm really interested in that kind of game, so I would like to maybe someday try my hand at making a game specifically for a competitive scene, because I think the most competitive games are also some of the mechanically deepest games. Like I was talking about Smash Bros. Melee.
Yeah.
That was competitive for a while. I think that's one of the most interesting things, is a multiplayer sort of 1v1 kind of competitive game. I find that really fascinating. But, I don't know. I feel like there's so many different facets on which a game can be interesting. Like, there's so many vectors that you can, on which a game can be interesting. Like, it can be a brilliant method of storytelling. It can be, like, a competitive thing. It can just be pure, like, experience, like a game called, like, Journey, which just recently came out. That is another thing entirely. I couldn't really say there's one particular type of game that would be my dream game.
Yeah, too hard.
They're all so good.
Now, where do you think 2D platforming is heading as far as in the future for games? Do you think they'll become sort of outmoded at all? Or
no, I think there's always going to be an interest in 2D platformers because, I mean, it's just a really fun type of game. It doesn't necessarily make a game more interesting to make it 3D instead of 2D.
Yeah.
You can get all sorts of depth out of two dimensions. It just depends on the imagination of the designer and, like, you know, and the player, for that matter. But, no, I think there will always be a sort of niche market for that.
Yeah, I think you're right. They seem to be more kind of accessible. I don't mean like, they just seem to be more easier to get quite involved with without having to not, you know, without having to take a sickie from work or something. You know, you can still, you can still like function. Whereas with some of these other games like Skyrim, you disappear, you can disappear literally for days.
For sure. And it can be a lot more confusing for people to deal with three dimensions than two. If you're new to games, I remember showing my mom some, I think it was Tenchu when I was younger, on PlayStation 2, Tenchu 3. And it was just like really interesting to notice how hard a time she had trying to grasp three dimensions. And I feel like two dimensions is a little bit easier to...
Good training wheels.
Get your head around when you first start playing games, at least.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm. So you basically, the Dust Force is at the Best of the Independent Games Festival 2012 at Acme, and your game is there along with many others, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great.
Thanks so much for talking to us, Woodley Nye from Brisbane.
Yep.
From
no worries.
Something called Hitbox. And talking about Dust Force. I look forward to it coming out in May. Oh, do you have a website? Just quickly, if you could say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just hitboxteam.com or dustforce.com. Either one of those will work.
Fantastic.
And we're also on Twitter and Facebook and such. So
thank you. Thanks, Woodley.
Cheers.
Thanks for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream.
No worries.
All right. Cheerio.
Okay, later.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.